I listen to the Black Guy Who Tips podcast because Rod and Karen are hot.
The new president's speech was dark and dystopian. I heard it as a howl straight from the white nationalist gut. Its most memorable line was about American carnage, a startling phrase more suited to a slasher film than an inaugural address. Trump painted a picture of a bitter, broken country I didn't recognize. I knew we still had real challenges, ones I had talked about endlessly on the campaign trail, income inequality, and the increasing concentration of corporate power, continuing threats from terrorism and climate change, the rising cost of healthcare, the need to create more and better jobs in the face of accelerating automation. The American middle class really had gotten screwed. The financial crash of 2008-2009 cost them jobs and ripped away their security. It seemed like no one was ever held accountable. Americans across a broad spectrum felt alienated, from culturally traditional white voters unsettled by the pace of social change, to black men and women who felt as if the country didn't value their lives, to dreamers and patriotic Muslim citizens who were made to feel like intruders in their own land. Trump was great at rubbing salt in their wounds, but he was wrong about so much. There have been 75 straight months of job growth under President Obama, and incomes for the bottom 80% were finally starting to go up. 20 million more people had health care thanks to the Affordable Care Act, the greatest legislative achievement of the outgoing administration. Crime was still at historic lows. Our military remained by far the most powerful in the world. These are knowable, verifiable facts. Trump stood up there in front of the world and said the exact opposite, just as he had throughout the campaign. He didn't seem to see or value any of the energy and optimism I saw when I traveled around the country. Listening to Trump, it almost felt like there was no such thing as truth anymore. It still feels that way. Hey, welcome to the Black Guy Who Tips podcast. Your host Rod and
Karen,
and we're live on Saturday, ready to do some feedback. You can find us on iTunes, Stitcher, Podomatic. Search the Black Guy Who Tips. Leave us 5-star reviews on iTunes and Stitcher, please. We got a couple this week, but you know, we can always use more. So if you're thinking about it, you're sitting at home in the quarantine, you know, thankful. If maybe you're lifting restrictions and you're like, I'm still not ready to go out there yet, leave us those 5-star reviews while you're sitting in the house, okay? Dire said official weapon. The official weapon of the show is
Taser,
an unofficial sport.
Bullet ball.
And Bullet Ball Extreme. That excerpt was from What Happened, the book by Hillary Rodham Clinton. And yeah, I mean, I cannot sum it up more, you know, like from the feeling of feeling like Trump is there is no such thing as truth when he talks, the fact that he literally says the opposite of everything that is true, and gets patted on the back for being a patriot and loving America, when if you look at his entire campaign, it's based on saying how terrible America is. It's saying America's not great, make America great, and the only person that can do that is me, you know. And so, you know, that victimhood of that he uses, and that, you know, as she called it, the white nationalist gut, is where it seems that he speaks from, you know, because it's all about white people's feelings. You know, oh, progress is happening too fast, isn't that what's really wrong with America, you know? And I loved when she went down the statistics and was like, nah, this is what we know to be true. And it's not to say that all those things are things that we co-sign and are good, but it's saying that there's fact and there's fiction. So, you know, for him to be able to say like our military is weak and we need to give it more money when we have the biggest fucking military in the world is crazy. But that's a thing he routinely says and the thing he routinely does.
That's why he makes up fucking new branches.
Right, you know, a man who started his campaign based on racism, you know, calling Mexican rapists and shit like that, and criminals and stuff like that. So yeah, you know, this, like, to think that, you know, and I love that intro of that book because she essentially talks about what she, this is all going through her head while she attended the inauguration, you know. So like, you know, and she was thinking about the Obamas and what a slap in the face it was to them, and mm-hmm. all this shit that I felt too, you know. And I still remember that inauguration day. It still feels surreal looking back. Like, As surreal as it was for Obama to be inaugurated, Trump's inauguration was as surreal for me. Like, as far as moments that happened that I just was like, I didn't think that our country would ever have a Barack Obama. And if we're being frank, I never thought we'd have a Trump. Because Trump is literally the worst president of all time. And we knew this. Everyone who knew he would be.
Yes, 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 and yes, and yes.
So to me, it wasn't even the same as if, say, Mitt Romney had won after Obama was elected or something. Like, that's not even the same feeling. This was a different feeling. Even, you know, because I've always voted Democrat, but even when a Republican has won, it's never felt like this.
Right. You don't get this type of a feeling. And it was like a death, to be told. You know, and I didn't watch it because I didn't care because I was just mad. So I just didn't give a fuck. I knew it existed.
Like, yeah, I didn't watch it either.
I knew it was there. You know, I knew it was something that happened. But, you know, for me, it was just one of those things to where whiteness is gone white, and that's why a lot of people are angry, and rightfully so, and still angry to today. Like I said, I'm not as angry as I was before, but the anger is still there, and I'm still upset, I'm still hurt, I'm still sad. Like, those feelings will never go away.
Yeah, I think also he's the combination of just decades and decades of right-wing media becoming its own, like, its own camp. You know, and, you know, I think before on the air, I've said kind of like, I feel like it started with Rush Limbaugh. And I do feel that way with the new wave. Like,
yeah,
the new wave, I think it was like Republican AM radio becoming bigger and bigger mainstream and then turning into Fox News and all this shit. That does feel new, but really that's just the length of the chain and the lifetime of the struggle. And this is just my witnessing of that length of the chain, because it actually goes back much, much further than that.
Of course,
they have always had this, their own version of facts and media to justify their mistreatment of everyone who is not a white male.
Correct.
A straight white male. And so I feel like this can't happen without a Fox News. This can't happen without AM talk radios. Can't happen without Republican politicians who trade on these lies and things of this nature. And yeah, there is no objective truth for a lot of people because people can't even agree on the facts. So it doesn't matter if someone went to school and they're a doctor. It doesn't matter if they're a scientist. It doesn't matter what the consensus of scientists say, what the consensus of doctors say. If there are people who are invested in just feeling like they don't give a fuck about that shit, then they're just not gonna care, you know. And I think Trump is the ultimate example and the consequence of that, because when you have a collection of lies that you've chosen to believe, then that means you have to support the person who touts the most lies, and you support his lies too, and you tell everyone they're the truth. You know, that's why he can go out here and tell everybody he's on that hydrochloroquine or whatever, and everyone in, you know, CNN, MSNBC, wherever goes, hey, that's not good. Every doctor says that's not good. Everybody that's affiliated with any level of science says that's not good. We know it's killing people and stuff. And yet I don't think Fox News is gonna say that's not good. You know, like, they might say don't use it, but they're not going to say that guy's lying. If he was on that, he'd be dead. They're not going to say that.
Right, because he's not taking it.
Right, they're not going to say that. And no one's going to say that. So, in a way, it's like they have won that battle. And the only way to combat that is to be voting November and hoping that we can get his ass out of here. Because if not, that's it.
Yeah. And like I said, and this is just the way I feel, if he wins again, I do not know if the country will ever recover within my lifetime. I'm just gonna keep that real.
Yeah.
Like the
damage. It might not recover now.
And I believe that. The damage that is done is going to take decades to correct, if it ever is corrected. A lot of the shit that here now is here the motherfucking stay. It's not gonna reverse, it's not gonna go back, it's not gonna get corrected. Even if you do get people and vote people in office, because shit is law, it's hard to reverse shit. And let's say you do get people in office that will push and push it up. The structure is so stacked now that you got judges that would just vote it down. I'm not looking at that. I'm not seeing that. You know, it's designed to where the progress, that we've had has been taken away and we will never get it back. It's purposely and strategically designed to be that way.
And also, like, the damage that has been done to truth, to fact.
It's killing it.
Hey, like, you can't recover from that. You know, that thing right there is something that has been done irreparable harm. And, to me, I don't know what is next after this. You know, that's why you have so many people who voted for Biden, because they just want a restoring to some norms. They don't want the huge dreams and the big fixes that, you know, you want to believe in, but people only believe in that during times of prosperity, that they can do something even greater and grander than what they already have.
Correct.
You know, people made a huge gamble on the human psyche that, well, some people made a huge gamble that, you know, letting the world experience Trump would somehow move the world into a utopia of all this, and it just doesn't work that way, you know. Mm-mm. And this is just what happens. Look at when people are dating, right? Somebody comes out of a bad relationship where they're treated really bad, they don't say, and now I dream of a blankety blank type of perfect person. A lot of times they're just like, I want a motherfucker that don't hit me, I would like somebody that doesn't financially abuse me and shit like that. And it's sad because we go, look at your low standards having blah blah blah, but the truth of the matter is standards are subjective. So it's what have you gone through to get you to the point where you're like, I would, if someone has made you feel like I would be happy with a night's peace, then that's what the fuck you're gonna start dreaming of. And I think that's what's fucked everything up, man. Like, people really are like, if I can just get back to like where things were bad but they weren't trending as bad, you know, it was bad but gasoline wasn't being poured on top of the bad. That's what you're gonna have people fucking voting for now. It's fucked up because, you know, none of the people that gambled that shit that said, oh, if we get Trump, we'll be able to get, none of those motherfuckers are around anymore to tell us, you know, they pop up here and there, but they're not saying, I was wrong.
Oh, no, you and that's something that you will never get. A lot of them are wrong, a lot of them were tricked, a lot of them believed a lot of fake news that was going out there. They'll never admit that. A lot of them were led astray, and they led other people astray with them. And even now you have a lot of people, as dire as everything is now, you have a lot of people saying that they, you know, they won't vote for Biden no matter what. And I'm like, okay.
But you know, that's another thing. That's the other cost of having a president that doesn't operate in fact, having a Republican Party that doesn't operate in fact, having Fox News and all that. You also have a bunch of people on the left that don't operate in fact.
Correct.
You know, because it's just, it's like I've always said, man, that shit sets the standard. People don't want to admit it, but it's just how people work. Having a fucked up president sets the standard for everything. A president sets precedent, right? Just by the fucking fact that they exist and people think they're in charge. And you're not gonna get everyone to wake up from that matrix together, so you need to put competent people in charge, or you end up with shit like it is now. Butterfly in the sky, I can go twice as high. Take a look, it's in a book, a reading rainbow. I can go anywhere, friends to know, ways to grow, a reading rainbow. I can be anything, take a look, it's in a book, a reading rainbow, a reading rainbow.
All
right, let's get into the show, okay? There were people that gave us money.
I dedicate this song to recession, depression, and unemployment. This song's for you.
Today's a new day. That's right. New day, new salary. Let's get into the people that gave us some money. All right, everybody. Okay. We got quite a few people. We got a brand new donator from Luther. Luther G. Thank you, Luther. Okay. Welcome to the party. And you can never give too much. Okay, Luther. You know what I mean. Never too much, never too much. Noel W. Thank you. Rita Mae C. Thank you. Bomani Jones, the homie. Shout out to him. Nicholas Z. Thank you. Laura E. Miss Hathaway, thank you. Olivia from Chicago, appreciate you. Pete B, we appreciate you. Sonya B, Renata M, Black Film Press Comics, David from Brooklyn, Ricky A, Pretty Ricky with the column. Joanna M, my bad. We got a one-time donation from Laura F. Thank you, Laura. And then a recurring donation from Laura F. Okay, well, that's what's up. Chris from Hawaii, thank you.
Thank you.
Calfani G, appreciate you. Triangle Wine Co., thank you so much, Triangle Wine Co. Brianna F. April G. You know, didn't Triangle Wine Co. send us some wine not too long ago?
Mm-hmm.
We went to our mailbox and it was just wine in there.
Mm-hmm.
And it was delicious. Them people be so envious when we pick up that wine. They be like, oh, y'all got some wine. Let me get some.
They be looking at us like, they be looking like, y'all get food sent, y'all get wine sent.
Like, stop looking at my mail, okay? That might be some porn in here. What if it's an Adam and Eve box?
Right.
Corey the Tickler, thank you very much for your current donation. Tabitha M, thank you as well. We appreciate you. And man, this new computer's so good. I did it all on the computer. I didn't have to do my phone.
Oh shit.
Yeah, and it actually showing old emails I didn't get loaded on my old phone.
Oh shit.
Zachary N from January 6th.
Oh, we probably missed you.
Linwood C from January 6th. And Donna N from January 6th. So now.
Shout out to y'all.
And I think that's January 6th, 2019.
We finally got to you.
So everybody got their shout out. All right, that's everybody. Thank you so much. Whatever you're going through right now.
Smile for me.
Smile.
Can you just smile for me?
And the people say,
oh, oh, oh. You look so much better when you're
oh, oh, oh.
All right, we got some 5-star reviews. Did you go out of the chat?
Mm-hmm, I'll come back.
Okay. We got some 5-star reviews to talk about. Okay, guys. Let's get to those. We got 3 of them. We got one for Blackout Tips Spoiled Movie Reviews. Thank you.
Thank you.
Really hadn't had many movies to review since the theaters closed down.
Right.
Rod and Karen is for the babies. Puffy is good, but Rod and Karen is the best. 5 stars. Thanks again, Trey Swindu. Thank you, Trey.
Thank you.
5 stars for the regular show, the Blackout Tips Podcast, the best podcast, 2 exclamation points, by the number J, who says, Karen, my 20-month-old boy mimics your laugh. He enjoys it. 5 stars.
I'm glad.
A must listen from Funky Fresh with 5 stars, of course, on iTunes. I've been listening to y'all for years, and this podcast is one of the funniest. I don't always agree, but I always love hearing your views. Listen, okay? Not everybody agrees that Black Lives Matter, okay? So some of y'all listening, you know, y'all get a little tight when I start talking about how much Black Lives Matter to me. And Funky Fresh, you know, that I you know, hopefully you'll come around on that. Keep doing what y'all are doing. We will keep doing what we're doing, okay? We will proceed until everybody agrees Black Lives Matter, okay? We're not gonna quit. We care. We have episodes on the website, theblackouttips.com. You can go there, you can log in to your account, and you can leave comments on the show and let us know what you think about things. We didn't get any comments on our feedback episode, We Do It All, but we did have a poll with a comment. What was a better cartoon, He-Man, G.I. Joe, or Thundercats?
Thundercats.
Wow. 60% of the audience agrees with you, Karen. Thundercats was the better cartoon.
Mm-hmm.
26% said G.I. Joe and 14% said He-Man. Ms. Barnes says, how in the name of Cybertron was the Transformers overlooked? Oh, I didn't even put it in there because Transformers would have won, I thought. I really wanted to go with my B and C level cartoons to see what people, you know, what people was fucking with. You know, Transformers to me is by far and away would have got number one. Autobots, Decepticons, Triple Changers, Headmasters, Pretenders, the Transformers was way ahead of its time. Mm-hmm. You know what? Now that I think about it, how can the cinematic treasure known as Transformers the movie be overlooked? Name a movie where you could have the talents of Leonard Nimoy, Orson Welles, Scatman Crothers, Judd Nelson, and many others all in one spot. Did I go too in depth? LOL. Nah, Transformers one of my favorite movies of all time.
Mm-hmm.
First movie I cried at when I was watching as a kid.
Yes, and I got to see it for the first time when we went to go see it because I don't think I ever had seen the original movie.
Yeah, and I was in there quoting every line.
You and everybody else, they broke out in song and everything.
Mm-hmm. That was my shit. You got the touch. You got the power.
Yes, that white woman on the other side else was singing her heart out.
Yeah! Oh, man, that's my jam. I got to interview Stan Bush one time. All right, we got episode 2106, A Soul Glow Moment. This is when we had our girl Jaquetta from the Hey You Know What podcast on. We had a lot of guests this week.
Mm-hmm.
Very big guest week, okay? And next week, we're going to have some guests, too. We got What's the Tea coming on Sunday.
Yay!
And then we got Ray Sonny coming on Monday.
So. Yay!
Brooklyn Shoe Babe says, hair care advice with Karen. New premium show. I loved it.
Thank you, baby.
D. Ramsey says, 5 stars. This comedy thruple, safe distancing, made my morning. Thanks, D.
Mm-hmm.
And Miss Barnes 72 says, thank you, Karen, for the advice on 4C hair. I swear, some days it feels like a haystack on my head,
mm-hmm.
and I just want to cut it all off. And some days I'm like, I can make this 4C work.
Yeah, and you know what? I kind of learned in me and Raji's mama got a joke. Your hair, you give it a name, like, because your hair almost has its own personality sometimes. Because sometimes the way you feel and the way and what it does and how it feels, we don't always get along. So, I mean, Sheila, Jane, whatever you want to call them, be like, look, you need to get yourself together today. And, you know, sometimes y'all in sync and then sometimes, you know, y'all don't get along, you know.
Mm-hmm. Gotta sync up.
I mean, I don't know what to tell you.
Hold on. So what did you name your hair? Or is it like you can't tell, you can't say it out loud because you lose all your powers?
I lose my black girl powers.
I don't know.
And you know what? And for me, it's not a consistent name.
Oh.
You know what I'm saying? It's just whatever name I make up for the day. But some people's name is consistent. You know, they call her the same name. It's just whatever name pop in my head, that's who she is today because she just has multiple personalities. Because some days my curl be popping and then some days,
Yep. So, all right, let's see. We had the poll for that episode. No comments. It was just, should the Swingers Club have to shut down during stay at home orders? Yes or no?
Yes.
Well, 92% of the audience agrees. Yes, they should have to shut down. Although 8% is letting they freak flags fly because they say they would not want it to have to shut down. Okay. They are not charging. And if people just want to meet up and have sex, that is their God-given right, okay?
Apparently so.
If freedom of speech.
In the age of the Rona.
Freedom of sploosh.
Mm-hmm. His little Rona with you. His little Rona with everything else that's happening in the room.
You're not going to violate my freedoms of spunk, Karen, okay? This is my First Amendment of rights. All right, 2107 was Dick Dash. We had our girl Jess Wood on.
Yes.
She's talking about having sex in the age of the Rona, mm-hmm. with mask on.
Mm-hmm.
Not sure Dr. Fauci would co-sign that one, but
I don't think he would.
You know, Jess lives dangerously. B. Lynn says, hey, Karen and Alex, I melt my good smell candles in the candle warmer. You can also use a mug warmer where it usually has a setting where you can have it set to shut off after a couple hours. They also make candles last longer. Yeah, I used to have a candle warmer.
Mm-hmm.
Justin bought it for me. I hate it. It was whack. Okay. Number one, I need to see my candles with I need the flame in my life, okay? This right here, I need this.
I need the flame. We did have one. It was
secondly,
just slow
it melts from the bottom.
Yeah, it does.
And it doesn't give the best aromatic feeling
right
when it's melting from the bottom. So I don't like that shit either, okay? Like, I'm not in the business of just having candles melting just to melt them. I need to see, okay? So I appreciate the suggestion, B-Lynn, but I found it wanting. Miss Barnes says, oh my god, Jess was a trip. She reminds me of my white friend, the other white friend that you had that's off the rails but doesn't overdo it too terribly much, lol. She definitely pops flavors of drip sauce. Yeah, I mean, listen, Jess is a loose cannon. She's mm-hmm. lived a life, okay?
She really has.
I don't know, I just find herself, this is the thing I talk about at the time, man. I feel like it's just fucking, I don't know if people have this anymore, if we have it but we don't talk about it because it's not the perfect thing to share, but like, some people just got good hearts and good spirits and shit,
and she gets that off. Yes.
They might not have all the fucking right, like, woke ass terminology mm-hmm. for every fucking thing, but they just a good person.
Correct.
And you know, that's, to me, that's Jess. Like, mm-hmm. you know, she grew up in a you know, surrounded by black and brown people and shit, mm-hmm. But she doesn't like perpetrate or whatever. Mm-mm. But she's honest about like where she came from, the shit, you know, that shit she said about the Def Jam stuff, it had me cracking up. I didn't even know that, but I remember the Def Jam like era.
Yes.
And you know, and all that stuff. And sometimes she just says stuff so like casually and off the cuff that you really can't hate her for it, man. So mm-hmm. I don't know, I love Jess, she just good people.
Agreed.
Raven says, I love this episode. Jess was hilarious, but I saw the Tyra Banks backlash on Twitter, and I thought some people were nitpicking about some of her past actions and some of it was justified. The times she put models in blackface was a hugely problematic thing she never addressed, especially since it was done in two separate seasons where she personally oversaw those photo shoots. Tyra was not the only host, but an executive producer of the show actually did have enough power to prevent it, and so I've always wondered why, how it happened. Yeah, I'm not even gonna knock you, Raven. What I'm trying to say is this. Because everyone's stuck in the house is why that shit came up. Mm-hmm. It's not like this was relevant, something happened, and we need to go talk about Tyra this week. It's, we're bored, we don't have shit to do, let's go, and someone brings up a random tweet with a video of, remember how Tyra used to do people? Mm-hmm. And that's y'all, you know, whatever, and then that's when everybody goes off, and I'm saying that fucking effect that we have to snap to action, like, you know, we have to make her accountable today. That's boredom. That's not actually relevant to any fucking thing. And that's really what I was talking about. It's not a defense of the things she did on the show, even though to a certain extent, the shit is a time capsule.
It is.
And there's shit that people got away with then that they couldn't do now because social media, and then society hopefully has elevated to some degree on some of these topics and said, I don't want to see this anymore.
Right.
But yeah, back in the Wild Wild Western days, it was like that. I've been watching this thing on Netflix. I finished it yesterday. It's Trial by Media. It's a series of six different, I think George Clooney produced it. It's documentary series, six different very famous public trials that took a place in the day and the age of the media getting to watch it, like courtroom TV, stuff like that.
That I was walking through and they was covering that stuff. I was like, god damn. I was like, that shit sounds terrible. And they was like, put the cameras in now.
And the first episode is about Jenny Jones. I don't know if y'all remember, Jenny Jones had the lawsuit against her show because she had one of those, you know, episodes where like someone reveals a secret crush, except the crush was a man revealing a crush on another man. The man, of course, who was crushing on the other man was gay. The man who was getting crushed on was not. And it eventually went home, escalated until the one dude killed the gay man. And it was a horrible, horrible crime. You know, you see the gay panic defense used, mm-hmm. all this shit, and then you see Jenny Jones and them get sued. And the thing I kept thinking was like, yeah, that was because it was the Wild Wild West. That's a literal time capsule moment.
Right.
And at the time, you would go, yes, Jenny Jones was way over the line. Everybody fucking knew it. She should get sued for that. That's not right.
But this is before we had those rules in place.
Well, this is the reason we have those rules.
Right.
Or the reason that a lot of TV shows changed. Mm-hmm. Right? So now we look back at it and we're like, oh, this was actually not good. But what they don't, you know, what you can't really put it into a documentary is that when you were alive and you were, you know, experiencing that, it wasn't just Jenny Jones. It was Ricky Lake. It was, Maury. It was Jerry Springer. It was, every fucking show was somebody surprised this, or Klan man talking to a black activist or something. Mm-hmm. And I think that's the thing I wanted to express, that I was trying to express in the episode when we talked about the whole people trying to retroactively cancel Tyra. It's like, yeah, y'all don't, like, there was a period of time when everybody was doing some outlandish shit.
Yes, they were.
And then you find out later, like, oh, this was fucked up.
Agreed.
So, all right. Let's see. The poll was, have you had sex with someone you're not quarantined with during the stay at home order? Karen?
Roderick?
I'm asking you.
I mean, it's gonna be me and you in here.
Okay, so I'm asking you. I mean, it's weird that you would try to answer this with a question rather than just, is it something I need to know?
No, something I need to know.
I'm asking you a question. Yes, no, or none of your business, but secretly yes. Those are the options.
It's just me and you, so unless somebody else snuck in here, then it's me and you.
Okay. My answer is no. Affirmatively, without any level of defense or asking questions back or feeling some like I was put on the spot, because that's the obvious answer, you know, like to me it just seems like it wouldn't need to be a whole thing, but now that it's become a whole thing, it makes you wonder why it was a whole thing in the first place.
No, it's just me and you.
Interesting. That would have been much more convincing a minute or two ago. Now not so much. The 86% of people say no, they've only had sex with people they're quarantined with, or not at all. 7% say yes, they have had sex with someone they're not quarantined with during the stay at home order. Only 7%. And another 7% say none of your business.
Yeah, I mean,
secretly yes.
Well, some people might be quarantined with, like, you know, their children or like other family members that they're not intimate with. So the person that they're intimate with is not actually at the house.
Yeah, I believe it. I mean, I listen to podcasts and some people still getting it in, you know, they just, I guess, hoping that they're social distancing enough in the week and everybody else in the other house is too, and then getting the fucking, people gonna do what they want to do, essentially.
Of course.
I mean, if motherfuckers going to the beach, motherfuckers are fucking, but I don't know. I think, and it also would depend on the relationship, right? Because if it was, I would think it would be easier to justify with someone you trust and you previously had sex with and you think they would be safe.
Right.
As opposed to like Tinder. Cause I feel like if a motherfucker is coming over to your house in Tinder, they coming over to everybody's house during Tinder.
I don't know. The healthiness is not on their top agenda.
Yeah. So I feel like, you know, like if you getting that quarantine in the tender age, then they are offering the quarantine to many, many people. There is not a lot.
Yes, you are not special.
Not a lot of discernment happening right now. If they like, you just right clicking, right scrolling everybody or whatever, left scrolling. I don't know which one.
You know, I don't know.
Lila says, listen, a chick single. I'm essential, expendable worker. I have needs. I love my alone time, however. XNXX and videos can only do so much. My mirror bitch wants me to relax, relate, and release by betrothing ye old phrase by the exquisite Eazy-E. Find him, fuck him, and flee. He flees. Besides, he better risk his life for this pussy. What would you do for a Klondike bar? Well, Layla, good luck out there, okay?
Good luck.
You know, who are me to judge?
Danielle
D says, hashtag lonely in the Rona, but your girl has Lola. You would think with all these mercies, my favorite essential workers, co-workers, I would have a lot of selection, but it's morbidly obese. No, later y'all. I don't know what this even meant. None of it. But it's a morbidly obese no? ? Later, y'all. I don't know. Brooklyn Shoe Bay. Brooklyn Shoe Bay says, I answer no, but damn it, I wish I could say yes. Love all my electronics, but nothing replaces a real life tone. I know, man. I feel like, I wonder if people are more pressed now because it's like you can't have sex with other people.
Right. When before you could just whenever it happened.
Right. Like all these months before was it people that wasn't pressed and it was like, whatever, I'm not having a lot of sex. Oh, psh, okay. Yeah. And then it was you can't have sex with nobody else. You might die. And then people was like, I really need sex.
Right. And it was one of the things, you know, when you happened upon some sex, you were there for it.
It's like a diet. You know, it's like, I'm gonna go low carb. Like maybe you weren't eating that many carbs before, but the second you gotta go cold turkey, it's like everything got a carb in it, you know?
Everything.
We had episode 2108, White Podcasting Money. EBBB says, I'm so glad I decided to watch the replay today. Karen's face when the growl came out was priceless. I was not prepared. I love a good death growl, but I think this is the first time I ever heard death trap. Is that what we're calling it? Trapcore? Trapcore?
I don't know. I was not ready.
That shit took me out. Pure chaos. Don't nobody tell the rap rock artists this is a thing. They'll take out the guitars and double bass drum pedals and leave us with whatever this cacophony is. Yeah, well,
I just wasn't ready, you know. I don't know, just took me out of my space.
Yeah, more worried about white people getting a hold of it, you know. They already stole rock and roll, so be careful. Anne says, thought experiment, if they were able to show that COVID-19 was infecting only Asian people, or that it occurred mostly where Asian people lived, do you think that the freedom crowd would have objected to the mask and social distancing requirements? Restrictions are only for others. If they had showed,
I remember because Trump kept saying it was Asian.
Mm-hmm. I don't know if I understand this question. If they were able to show COVID-19 was infecting only Asian people, or that it occurred mostly where Asian people live.
Oh, the behavior was
different. Do you think that the freedom crowd would have objected to mask and social distancing requirements? Restrictions are only for others. I don't think anything would change if they knew it was only Asians. I think, because I don't think the freedom crowd is one that is going to be okay with mask and social distancing requirements regardless.
Right. Yeah, they don't care.
Yeah, so that's how I took the question. How'd you take it?
Oh, the same, because racism.
Yeah,
they not white, so you gonna get the protests.
Yeah, I mean, I like, if you're saying like the government or scientists would be like only Asian people should wear a mask and self-quarantine and all that shit, then would the freedom people treat it differently? I think the freedom people would be like, they should wear that shit, if that's what you mean. And I mean, we saw that at first. People attacking Asian people throughout America. Like,
yes, sir.
That's not even a thought experiment. That was happening.
Yes, sir.
It's why it's so dangerous to call shit the China virus and shit like that.
Right.
Like, they're really attacking people the way that, after 9/11, people started attacking any brown person that looked like they could be from a place where Muslim people might exist.
Come on.
You know, beating up the wrong people and shit. They not even the same religion. They just beating up people, so.
Because they don't give a fuck.
Vertigo Stark says, woo, child! That coronavirus song was a song. I prayed after hearing that, and I'm not even religious. The devil was definitely all up in that song. Go on and be great with your lavender. Mm-hmm. I call my father, I say, call him Jesus, how I love him and praise him. I don't even know what I did with that
clip. I thought, yeah, that's when you use that clip up.
You are turning red from your back.
You gonna be great now, sweetheart. You're turning red from your back.
Oh man, that was my jam back in the day. The Jesus, how I love him and praise him. back to what we was talking about. John Baby John says, as you talked about it, I was thinking Trump's plan to paint his border wall black is even stupider than you described it. Not only would it be ineffective in the cooler months, yeah, but even in the hotter months, I'm assuming the wall be cooler at night. Oh yeah.
Duh. With somebody didn't think about, but yeah, cause the temperature of the wall gonna drop when the sun not beating it to death.
Yeah. That's probably what they already do. Just wait till nighttime to cross anyway.
Yeah, who are these people crossing in the middle of the day?
Nobody's trying to walk across South Texas, let alone climb walls. Don't matter what the color in the heat of the day. True. Monica says, Rod said, well, that was a song. And I replied out loud in my kitchen, was it though? I cracked up when Rod stopped in the middle and asked Karen if she wanted to mosh. I love the story of the Arizona restaurant that won't reopen until Disney opens. So good to hear that owner be so conscientious and careful. Also, he was delightfully candid and funny. I want everybody in the country to be that aware. Yeah.
Oh, he was, and the video was even more hilarious.
Mm-hmm. I noticed he messed up his social distancing a couple times, but I'm okay with it. Mm-hmm. Like he had to
put on his mask. He was like,
took his mask off for a second.
Yeah, he was like, I'm serious. Let me take my mask off. He's like, wait a minute, this is my daughter. She take it serious. Like, I gotta cover my face back up.
Mm-hmm. Should companies open up before Disney opens up? Yes or no?
No.
15% of people said yes. 85% said no. I guess it depends on the company, right? Kim Doc says, I'm with the pastor. Open up the governor's mansion since y'all about it like that. Actually don't want the White House opening because all of them are asymptomatic anyway. Pass. I know. I feel like Trump got to be asymptomatic the way he just treating it.
I've always, from the beginning, I've said that. I was like, he has to be. Nothing else makes sense because everybody that he has popped up around, have a lot of them have tested positive, and he mm-hmm. is just strolling like nothing happened. Him and Pence,
it's trying to get up in there to him though. Episode 2109, the doors of the church are closed. This is when we had tea with Queen and Jay on the podcast. Monica says, I love the guest on this show. I can't wait to add their podcast to my rotation. So good to hear Queen and Jay talk about their experiences in NYC. I'm in Manhattan as well and haven't seen friends or family in months. Most of my family is in Long Island and they're starting to socialize, supposedly with distancing measures, but it doesn't look like that in the pictures. Yeah, I don't know how everyone's, if you can, obviously, I mean, not everyone can do everything. But if you can, I don't know how the fuck you're not just waiting this out.
Yeah, you know what? Because I said online yesterday how we're never going to. I'm not going to die trying to get back to normal. And now there's a new normal, and people don't want to accept that things are never going to be back to where they were before. Like we're going to have pre-Rona and post-Rona, and we're in post-Rona and we're never ever going back to pre-Rona, never again. And it's all because of the way the government handled this, to the fact that we're never going to go back. So for me, I've already, as sad as this may sound, I've already come to the conclusion that there are some family members I may never see again, because I don't want to be the reason why they die. I'd rather stay in the house for as long as it takes and just let this shit run its course than to be in such a rush to run out to what, die, get sick, get, be contagious, get con, you know, ooh, get it. Like, I maybe this is me, but and maybe I'm being irrational and illogical, and maybe I'm the crazy one, but I'm like, shit, nigga, I don't want to die. And people, and to me, when you run out there, running to the mall, running out, you're risking death. And if that's what you want to do, cool, but I am not willing to take that risk. I don't want to be the reason why a loved one or family member die, and I don't want them to give it to me.
Yeah. I'm trying to, the other thing too, I was going to say, I meant to mention this. I do think it's fucked up when people use that special lens on their camera to make everyone look closer than they are. I think it's called a telephonic or tele, tell us something, lens. Tell okay. a photo, okay. lens. I've never heard of it. So some camera people have been doing this, and I thought that was, I think that's actually fucked up, because they had like a picture of people eating outside in Texas at a restaurant on a patio, and from the angle and from the way they had the lens, it looked like everyone was damn near sitting at the same table. And I'm like, this is fucking ridiculous. Those people are gonna fucking like this. They should shut that down. And then the restaurant released their own pictures from their like phones and stuff from the, you know, standing close.
Right.
And everybody was social distancing. They were sitting far enough apart. They were all sitting outside.
Yeah. Why would you do that to the restaurant?
And so there's something that is a little fucked up with that is, because they know how much we're all sitting at home judging people for not social distancing, mm-hmm. there is a weird type of like monetization or capitalization on the fact that we're gonna click on these pictures that make it look like they're not doing it. So I've become a little bit more discerning in the pictures, because like, yeah, they'll go to the beach, but if you use a certain lens, everybody's standing together. But if you look at like, say, a picture from the news and stuff, you'd be like, oh, okay, these people weren't necessarily
on top of each other.
Now there are some people who are willfully on top of each other and don't give a fuck, but there's a lot of people that aren't doing that, you know. True. And I think we need to, it does make a difference, because they're plaguing on our paranoia at this point, mm-hmm. and our fears, and that's so fucked up to do that to at a time like this, you know. I think there's nothing wrong with it. Actually, I think it's helpful if you show people out social distancing and getting acclimated to the new rules, and people are wearing masks and people are staying 6 feet apart and people are in smaller groups and stuff. That's actually good, and I think we should show people that, you know, because you're showing people that, hey, this is normal, this is okay. But the shit that where it's like almost I don't know, it's just like they're trying to traumatize us. I don't like that, you know. And I understand certain shit is just gonna go viral, you know. If I see another mm-hmm. Karen go out here and have a fucking, get mad because someone asked her to wear a mask, I understand that doesn't represent the majority of people, but, mm-hmm. you know, that's gonna go viral because it's so outlandish. Some of this shit is going viral and it's not fair. It's manipulation.
Agreed.
I'm trying so hard not to judge. I keep repeating I'm not a doctor, but I also tell myself I'm not crazy for being so careful.
Right.
I liked when Queen said she doesn't care about judging people. That made me feel seen. Yeah. I mean, so this is another thing. Judging people or not judging people doesn't really change anything. So, like, it's really how comfortable are you being the person that judges people.
Agreed.
Unless you feel like it's doing something to your spirit, I don't know why you would feel bad. Judgment by itself is not necessarily a bad thing, you know. Like, sometimes you do people judgment, I mean, that's what judgment, discernment, that's what the fuck keeping us alive, you know. And so knowing someone else is making a choice that you wouldn't make, and a lot of times it's not just a freedom of choice act. Sometimes it is actually a logically a fucked up thing that they did. So judgment is, you know, I think sometimes people run away from that word, but judging as an act is not necessarily a bad thing, you know. And then also some of this shit too is just like, I feel about judgment kind of the same way I feel about when people say, you know, I don't want to wish nothing bad. I'm like, I don't know how much power you think you have, but unless you have like superpowers, you wishing death on somebody is not really gonna change nothing, you know. Unless you're gonna find out you got the Final Destination powers, which I mean, maybe we all should be wishing death. That's how we find out we got them.
I mean, maybe unless you grabbed a hold of the Death Note.
Yeah, like I don't know how, like it don't matter that you did that. So sometimes I don't really feel bad about, you know, being like, man, I wish this motherfucker would just die. The thing for me is, how do I feel inside? It's not really about that person and if I will impact their life. Is, do I feel good wishing death on motherfuckers? You know, that's the real question. I think most of my neighborhood is being careful, but there's definitely a consistent group of young people partying next door and gathering with music outside my building. I can only shrug my shoulders and hope they're okay. EVE says, I would almost feel bad for Karen Roman. I think that's Allison Roman's nickname. If these white feminists didn't keep fucking up at this point, when they call out women of color for merely existing, I don't think it's subconscious anymore. It's deliberate. They just think that their white woman army will have their back. So fuck up, bitch. Yeah. Yeah, like I said, you know, if that's how you feel, that's how you feel. I just really don't think white people think of us that much. I just don't. I think we like to assign maliciousness to them in a way that puts us foremost on their minds. Like, I can't wait to say this because
a lot of times we're afterthought, and that's the problem.
Yeah, and the reason I really don't believe it is because they don't stand up in it. Mm-mm. Well, not most of them don't.
Right.
Most of them don't. The ones that, like, Tommy Lauren will stand up in it and be like, fuck you bitches. I was thinking about you niggers when I made this post, and I hope it does hurt your feelings. These women like Allison Roman, this is what privilege does.
Like, this, yes, is, that's the blindness of it.
Yeah, this is privilege. You aren't thinking about the motherfuckers. Like, it just don't even cross your mind. She never even thought about them being Asian or none of that shit. Like, that's the true privilege, is being like, you're not even a consideration. And like I said, I know how most people think. They think the first one is the worst, right? Like, oh, you maliciously sought me out to fuck with me. And I understand why people think that's the worst. And that's why they want to assign it to everybody, because if we assign the worst motivations to people, we can hate them and don't feel bad about it, blah, blah, blah. Whatever. The second one to me is the worst. That's how I'm built. The one where you're callously just like, fuck them. I'm not even thinking of them, and you didn't even come up in my brain at all when I was saying this stupid shit. That's when I'm like, what the fuck is going on with you? That other people are so removed from your mind that you could just say something like that. You know what I mean? Like, damn, you really gotta be fucked up to be that inconsiderate or whatever. But
yeah, and it's a part of the system. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, if you're right in the machine and you're a part of the system, and you know people don't want to hear this is why everybody has been affected from white supremacy. Even white people have been impacted by it to an extent, you know. And that's something that black people don't want to hear, and I understand that, black and brown people, but it's the truth. Everybody is impacted by it.
Yeah. Another example, like, people will say, when they see, like, these white women out here being mad about wearing a mask and shit, and they'll be like, they should be that mad about Black Lives Matter. Why can't they da-da-da-da? And I'm like, because they don't think about Black Lives Matter.
Mm-mm.
Like, this is not, you know, one woman was fighting with the police and got tased. And someone was like, I can't even watch this as a black person because I know this what would happen if it was a black person. And I say, right, she doesn't even think about that.
Mm-mm.
They don't think about us, you know? Like, and there's a, and I guess for me personally, there's a freedom in that, in them not thinking about us. You know what I mean? Because I'm like, yeah, fuck them. They don't think about us. I'm not going to think about them. Like,
right. And sometimes I think some black people drive themselves up the wall thinking so much about white people and what they think and what they say and how they feel, when it's not reciprocated. A lot of times they're like, oh, you thought I was thinking about you, nigga? You never crossed my mind.
I just feel like I'm, and this is my personal opinion, obviously all of them are, it's our podcast, but I'm hesitant to assign that level of thought to them because I feel like I'm giving them power. Because if she really did think that, then I'm giving her power by bringing up that she ain't shit and talking about it. Then I'm really like transferring, because that's what she wanted then, right? She wanted her feminist white women to defend her, and she wanted to piss black people off and ruin her own prospects for her TV show out for no reason. Mm-hmm. Or whatever, like, or Asian people even, because it wasn't even about black people. But yeah, it's like, I don't know, man. Part of me thinks then I am giving her what she wanted, and I don't want to be that. I don't want to be in a position where I'm doing that.
And the biggest reason why, you can tell, for a lot of them, we're afterthought, is that they're never ready for the consequences. And that's right. That's the thing. Because if they said it and they meant it and they was willing to deal with it, they were like, fuck it. Yes, I lost my, I don't give a fuck. But would you go, oh, let me clean it up, let me fix it. You were not a thought.
That's really the telltale sign for me, because the ones that want the smoke really do be ready.
Right. They be like, I said it.
Yeah, Tommy Lauren she's never about apologizing or backing down. Mm-mm. Because she, honestly, her only job is to piss off a bunch of people that aren't white men every day.
Mm-hmm.
And so y'all will never catch, you can drag her, she wants to be dragged.
Mm-hmm.
Candace Owens wants to be dragged, she wants her name to trend every time. You know, and I think that's the difference for me is, So I live in the nuance. I live in the gray. I have to assign my labels. That's why we do our 0 to 100. It's cause not all this shit's 100. And a person like Allison Roman is, to me, is less malicious than a Tommy Lauren, but still fucked up.
Agreed.
You know? Anyway, let's see. The poll was, do you want a Brandy Monica versus? Yes, no, or I'm not really into versus in general.
I would like to have it, but
15% of people agree with you, Karen. They would like to see Brandy versus Monica in the versus.
If it, you know, if it's friendly and stuff like that, I wouldn't mind that at all.
38% say no, they don't want it. And 47% just ain't into versus in general. I thought I was alone on that, but shout out to us that aren't into it, but aren't out here trying to ruin everybody's good time.
Right.
See, it's possible. Shady Dane says, this episode was amazing. I love listening to my podcast faves laughing and chatting up for over 2 hours. It was so great that about 15 minutes in, I ran to the kitchen, made the largest fancy ass cocktail in the universe to sip on while listening. I want to thank all you guys for getting together and make this Rona a little less awful. Thank you, Shady. Ms. Barnes 72 says, I love the versus battles. I love the DJ Premier RZA battle as well as Erica and Jill. Anything to make staying inside a treat. I'm down for it. Monica said, oh, I don't even know who is this week. Is this the one where they're gonna have like Beanie Man and the I don't remember what this one is.
Monique consistently changes.
Monique says, this is the crossover podcasting content a nigga like myself deserved. Thank you to Rod, Karen, Janisha, and Naima for the textured nuance and levity and right before all hell broke loose too. Well, thank you. Thank you. And yeah, I don't know what hell broke loose more than normal. I feel like, I don't know, maybe I've gotten used to this. I feel like we're in a constant state of turmoil and hell on Twitter and Facebook and shit all day.
Something's always
so I don't even be knowing what the most, like, what the new fucked up shit is anymore. It all blends together.
Does.
Oh, Bounty Killer versus Beanie Man. Okay, thank you, Jackie. Someone said Jagged Edge and 112.
I heard of that one too.
Okay, the auntie's gonna be in the house for that one.
Mm-hmm.
We had one voicemail. Let's see if I can play that.
Hey, Rod and Karen, this is Daz. Mostly this is about listening to This Too Much with Rod and Bossy, and I was trying to convince a friend of mine. He believes that once you hold a position, you should just keep that position. But I believe in light of, if somebody gives you new information or just gives you a position, and once you hold it against the one that you hold currently, if it makes the one that you hold currently untenable and inadequate, you should just do away with the position you have and adopt a new one. And the position I had on Molly was untenable. I mean, I looked at me all, I was like, that doesn't make sense. A lot of people just go through their own personal shit. They bring it to that, and they just desperately need Molly to be this irredeemable villain. She's not. And on a different note, Joe Biden going on Charlamagne's The Breakfast Club show, he might as well go on the Eric Andre show next. All right, y'all.
All right, so two things. One, thank you for listening to This Too Much. Absolutely, man. Like, Karen kind of really gave me the clarity on it by, I think it was by accident though. I think she was trying to say something the opposite of what I got from it, but this is what I got from it. But she had brought up, like, you know, at one point in time, Molly had even offered Andrew services to Issa. And like, so people were using that to be like, yeah, so if she offered her services to Issa, I mean, his services to Issa, then what? She gonna just take that back? And I was like, but we heard her say no. I don't feel like, you know, like doing this for you no more. So you can't be like, but you had said, like, that's the end of it, right? That's the new thing that happened. Chronology matters. But then it reminded me, we, the podcast, me and Karen, husband and wife team, had been in a situation like this before. Literally, somebody had offered the services of their spouse to do something for us. Now, we didn't say, oh yeah, we're gonna do that. We didn't, you know, but it was like an opportunity that was there for us that was available to us and would have enhanced some things we were trying to do. And it was something we considered, like, well, maybe we'll see if we even need something like that, or right. if we can do that on our own, because we prefer to do things on our own. I don't really like using friends for favors and shit anyway.
Yep.
But then we fell out with the person who, you know, whose spouse this was, right? We fell out with this person. We wasn't cool, wasn't really talking or whatever. And by the time our event came to pass, it was like, well, I definitely know not to go around back channels and ask that person's spouse to do the same thing that they offered to do months ago when we was cool. Like, that's an obvious thing to me that is like, yeah, that would not be cool. And once I was able to put it in perspective into something that literally had happened to me and how I felt about it, that really helped me understand what Molly's gripe was. Now, of course, the show's a little murkier than that and all that stuff, but I realized that not only did I understand the principle, I had fucking experienced the principle, and I chose not to do what Issa did. And I feel like if I would have done what Issa did, people would have rightfully looked down on that decision. They would have been like, what, why did you do that? You know what I mean? Like you didn't realize that you and this person not being cool and then using their spouse for this thing would be an issue, you know? The second thing is, yeah, so Joe Biden went on the Breakfast Club, and it's funny, there's a tweet I have from a few weeks ago, maybe a month or so ago, that I just re-upped it and said, well, now we know why I said this. But it was like, because I think Biden went on the Deezus and Meryl show, and I was like, yo, he should just do this and not the Breakfast Club.
Mm-hmm.
Like, he's, you know, that was a good interview and put him in a positive light. You get a lot of black and brown people in the audience, and hey, leave it at that. And lo and behold, after Charlamagne and all of the people kind of downing him for not going on the Breakfast Club, because of course they want that interview, and they were,
it actually benefits them more than it benefits him,
right, and they were nice to, like, Bernie. I think they were nice to maybe Nina Turner, which is also kind of like being nice to Bernie, but during their niceness to them, they're shitting on Joe Biden and shit. So I'm like, yeah, if Joe Biden got some savvy people around him, they're gonna be like, don't do that show,
don't do it,
because what can you really gain from,
right? How does it benefit you as a candidate?
Yeah, like, are you like, you're, because people go, well, you can reach a black audience. I'm like, but if you're reaching a black audience while somebody is literally roasting you and trying to make you come off as bad as possible, you're not reaching them. And the kind of people that don't fuck with you are just going to use the whole interview as proof and whatnot. So it just seemed like a real bad decision, you know, and maybe because people have been stuck inside and they're not able to do campaign events and shit.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe they worked down the list to like, I guess we need to try this. Right.
Mm-hmm.
But my thing is this, it's like a scorpion is going to sting. So when the scorpion asks you to help him cross the river, you can't be mad when the scorpion stings you in the back halfway through. That's what the fuck the scorpion does. So you're the one tripping for fucking with the scorpion. People trying to blame Charlamagne for this shit, and I'm like, for what?
He's just doing his job.
Yeah, that's his job.
Yeah, that's his job.
That's literally what he do. Like, you can't be mad at him for doing his job. Mm-mm. Like, his job is not to be a political pundit.
Nope.
His job is not to help you do campaign events. His job is to make viral moments for that show. And he's very good at that, if not the best.
Yes, he is.
You know, like, that show, I don't give a fuck how much people say they canceled it and what da da. That shit dominates the timeline at least once every couple of months with some controversial clip, controversial take.
And numbers don't lie. Downloads don't lie. Stream YouTube views, people are watching. And everybody claiming they don't watch, niggas is lying.
So, anyway, I saw the viral clip, and it was like, it was near the end of the interview where Biden had to leave, and then Charlamagne, I think, asked him something like, I can't even remember this. I actually could play the clip. It'd be easier to play the clip. So of course it ended up a controversial soundbite. Like I knew it would be, you know what I mean? It's more funny to me than anything else, because like, nigga, we knew that this is how it would happen.
And black people saved your political life in the primaries this year. They have things they want from you, and one of them is a black woman running mate. What do you say to them?
What I say to them is that I'm not acknowledging anybody who is being considered, but I guarantee you there are multiple black women being considered. Multiple.
Well, you know, thanks so much. That's really our time. I apologize.
You can't do that to black media.
I can't do that to white media and black media because my wife has to go on at 6 o'clock.
Okay.
Oh, I'm in trouble.
Listen, you got to come see us when you come to New York, VP Biden.
I will.
It's a long way until November. We got more questions.
You got more questions, but I tell you, if you have a problem figuring out whether you're for me or Trump, and you ain't black.
It don't have nothing to do with Trump. It has to do with the fact I want something for my community. I would love to see
you. Take a look at my record, man. I extended the voting rights 25 years. I have a record that is second to none. The NAACP has endorsed me every time I've run. Come on. Take a look at the record.
So that's the clip that was going viral. You can watch the whole interview as well if you're into that. But yeah, like I said, going on there in the first place, you're gonna have an interaction like that, and it's gonna be taken that way. Like, it's a hostile environment essentially for the front runner. Hillary Clinton went on there. We got to talk about fucking hot sauce. I've never seen anyone go on that show and then see people have viral conversations about their policies. Right. It's not what that place is for.
Mm-mm.
You know, and then the other part of it is we had Kamala Harris smoke weed, she must be lying thing, plus she's a cop, blah blah blah, that type of shit. People don't go on there unless they want you to succeed. You're not going on there and succeed. So who's this calling during the show?
I don't know.
The ghetto.
You can't mute Skype.
Quit Skype. So that's one of the things I thought was interesting about it was just that it's not really the environment for that type of shit anyway, you know. And people were like, the whole interview was cringy. I was like, but that's the setup of the show.
That's what they do.
Because Biden has been on an interview tear. He even has his own podcast for the last couple months. And no one's talking about how cringy any of the other interviews are, or any of that shit, because it's not designed to be that way.
Right.
Those on D'Zamero interview is fine. Like, the host chooses how the interview will go.
That's,
you know,
true.
So if the host wants the shit to be hostile, if they want to like kind of drill you on some things, try to see if they can catch you slipping, they will find a way. Now the other part of this is, and I thought this is obvious, and it's why I haven't really been arguing with people about it, because I think it's stupid, but if you have a problem voting between him or Trump, you ain't black. To me, I was not offended by that. Now, I do understand people being like, oh, the white people can't say that, they're getting too comfortable. Yeah, I don't really give a fuck, because I'm not gonna ever be in a position where I defend the blackness of some fucking Trump supporter. It's never gonna happen.
Nope.
Ever. I don't give a fuck who they are. I think it's fucking insane to even think that that's a, like, I really don't have a problem. If he would have said maybe some slur or something, then I might have been like, what the fuck was that, you know? But like, you know, him saying it that way and as an obvious fucking joke, it didn't bother me, you know? Like, maybe he got too comfortable with the people, the black people on his campaign that probably talk like that and shit. Maybe that was it. I don't know. But it, you know, my thing is that it was more like, if you already don't fuck with Biden and want to see him like fail or whatever, then of course you're gonna say, see, this is what I'm talking about. As if Bernie Sanders has never said anything awkward, as if Kamala Harris never said anything awkward, as if Elizabeth Warren, who I did vote for, never said anything awkward. It was just ridiculous. Even when Elizabeth Warren went on there, he tried to hit her with that Indian shit and the Pocahontas shit. Like, it's just not a good environment, and I would urge Democratic front runners to stay the fuck away from that platform if they're smart, because this happens more often than the other shit, you know? And so that's how I looked at it. The only people I really saw walking around talking about it, how devastating this was mostly people that didn't like Biden already.
Come on.
Which, I mean, let's be honest. Y'all thought, y'all was running around saying this man was a fucking rapist for the last 2 months as well, you know. And now that those claims have been investigated and vetted and all this type of shit, this crickets on the streets. Like people have been really leading first and foremost with their biases. And I said it had to be over a year now. I was not gonna get attached to not none of these motherfucking politicians this time around.
Mm-mm.
Period. Don't give a fuck how cool or not cool they were. The goal is to beat Trump.
Come on now.
So I have not, like, and maybe that's helped me in a certain way.
Yes.
But I haven't had any attachment to any of their gaffes or any of their victories.
No, so I'm not wasting my time arguing about, I don't care. Whoever the candidate is got my, the person I voted for didn't even win the seat. I don't give a fuck. You won it? Cool. You got my vote.
And the thing is, man, like, debating the merits of the comments don't matter. I saw black people... And you know why they had to come out and say this? Because I shouldn't even knock them, but a lot of black people that came out to give an opinion to like their social media about it, it's because they give opinion on everything, because you feel like your opinion has to be out there for every fucking thing. And not only are you giving it for everything, you're doing it for fucking free.
For free.
So you just giving these niggas opinions on every, like, a motherfucking politician fart, you gotta do a Twitter thread, or you gotta write a Facebook post, or you gotta make a viral video or some shit. And I'm like, you can sit some of these out. We knew what the fuck time it was, okay? Biden goes on there, and as soon as you go out, I didn't even need to see the clip. Like, I was like, oh, okay, I know what this is. He fucked up somehow. Or even if he didn't fuck up, he went on there, it's gonna look like a fuck up. There's no positive spin you're gonna be able to put on it. And you gotta spend all day either telling motherfuckers, like, listen, what he said, maybe a white person shouldn't say that, but what he said is not necessarily no, why? Who are you explaining this shit for? You don't have to stand in front of the class and give an essay on this shit.
I'm not. I don't care.
Like, that shit was crazy, man. Like I said, man. The only thing it made me think of is me going months ago. Yeah, he shouldn't go his ass on there. And soon as that happened, I just went and found my old tweet. It was like, retweet. That's what the fuck I said already. Like, of course, you know. And the thing is too, because some people want to attack Biden, they only see his part in it and go, well, he fucked up, didn't he? I'm like, the nigga been fucking up for his whole career.
He's been
having gaffes all this time. So I don't know why, like, at this point you're Lucy, you're Charlie Brown trying to kick Lucy's football, because you keep thinking one of these gaffes gonna get him up out of here. And I'm like, all you are doing is proving the wisdom of the people that voted for Biden.
Yeah, nothing's gonna stick to him.
The reason they voted for him is because he can't be stopped by his own fucking ineptitude. Because white straight men are essentially infallible in this country. It's the whole fucking point of voting for him. It's the whole fucking point.
The whole point.
I didn't vote for him, but goddamn, it's pretty obvious everyone was right. I was wrong. Elizabeth Warren has to apologize for fucking anything. Some campaign staffers quit. Elizabeth Warren got come out here. Listen, black people are right. These women claimed they were not treated right.
That's why they didn't like Hillary, because Hillary was like, the fuck I'm apologizing for?
Well, there's way more to that than that. But
I mean, yes.
I'm just saying.
She was like, I'm sorry, Tor. Every time she does something.
Elizabeth Warren has to apologize for everything, all the time. And it's just like, this is the one candidate that you can vote for that just be like, I ain't sorry, not apologizing for shit, okay? That's it. And if they do give that rare apology, it's always like, oh my god, he apologized, everything's back to normal, he's the greatest. And that's what happens, you know. I think he apologized for these comments and immediately, all right, well, back to normal, we're gonna vote for him. It's not gonna destroy his campaign the way it destroyed Kamala Harris's campaign when people fucking lied and said she must not have smoked weed in college because they got the dates wrong. You know, it's not gonna hurt her the way people keep bringing up the hot sauce for Hillary shit.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it none of this shit is gonna hurt him.
Nope.
So that's why he fucking won anyway. I wasn't even really gonna talk about this shit, so glad at least we talked about it on feedback, so I don't have to bring it up with our guest.
Yeah, I'm about to say, because I couldn't care less.
It's not news.
It is not.
Like, we just sitting at home bored, but shit, not really news. Karen says, good morning, Rod and Karen. My husband, Anthony Lawson, is a fan, daily listener, and believe he is a premium member also. He wakes up and goes to sleep with your podcast plan. Well, Wednesday, May 20th is his birthday.
Oh.
Well, happy belated birthday.
Belated birthday. We're a few days off.
Yep, my bad. I'll be sending these emails to the podcast email folder. He's hitting one of life's milestones, the big 5-0. Hey, congratulations, okay?
Halfway there.
All right. Not all of us make it there.
Come on.
I was wondering if you could give him a birthday shout out during the podcast on Wednesday. No, I can't because I don't have a time machine. I'm so sorry. Let him know I love him beyond words or comprehension and that he means everything to me. He is a great provider, wonderful father, and if this world was mine, he would have everything his heart desires. Aww.
Oh, that's sweet.
Happy birthday, Anthony. Love y'all so much. Karen. Thank you, Karen.
Aww.
And so sorry that this late. Okay?
He'll hit on the feedback show 3 days later.
Yeah, so if he's probably right behind. Here. He's probably behind anyway. You know, he'll probably catch up next month and hear this, so. Lauren writes in Pittsburgh, hi Rod and Karen. Regarding people driving crazy, I definitely have noticed this. I closed on my new house right at the beginning of quarantine and spent 6 weeks running back and forth between my old house and my new house as I cleaned, did repairs, and then moved my stuff over. I've noticed that people are going faster, keeping their lanes worse, honking more, and pushing the traffic a whole lot more when the other car rides your bumper or try to get you to go faster, even if you're already doing 35 and 35. And going faster in that area is dumb. I wasn't sure if it was just me going slower because of having carloads of boxes. That study sure makes it sound like it's everyone. I guess the stress is getting to us on the road. Stay safe, Lauren. Mm-hmm. Thanks, Lauren.
Just less traffic so people feel like, hey, fuck it.
Let's see. Amar writes saying, hey, Rod and Karen. This is Amar, aka Infrared Crypto. First, I would like to thank you all again for giving us great content this week. The guests have been on point. Also, my EP Ground War and Sankofa finally came out on all streaming platforms recently. I would love for you and the fans to get a chance to hear it. Here are the links. Okay, so it's on Spotify. Where would this link take me to, Spotify? Okay. Oh, cool. All right, I'm gonna heart this. Oh wait, I gotta log in. What the fuck, Spotify? Oh,
it's a new computer, so you might not be logged in.
Hold on.
You know, when you shit old, it's like I got your player, and it just log you in.
All right. So Groundwater is one of them. It's got like 4 songs on it. Like a little chime in the background and shit too. Mm-hmm. You know, sound like a could be a video game level or something. I was waiting for that beat to drop. Nah, man, it's dope, dog. I mean, as always.
Mm-hmm.
You know, sometimes I take these beats and use them for our premium shows and stuff for the like intro or outro music for interviews and stuff like that, man. Mm-hmm. Like, you do great work. I always feel like I don't know what to do with these beats because, you know, we're not like a music podcast or mm-hmm. whatever. But yeah, man, I'll check out more.
And y'all don't want MC Karen rapping, no, you don't.
And then Sankofa, this one has like 6 songs. Blind Tom is the opening track. this?
I like this. This sound like something on Insecure with like opening credit with like Issa like walking around her apartment.
Yo, this is dope. I fuck with that Blind Tom. What else you got on here? Chain Gang, Persistence.
Well, it's Don John. Don John. He's long gone. Long gone. He's long gone. He's long
gone. Oh, yeah, I heard this one on Three Guys On.
I like this one.
Like I flipped that sample, man. Nah, it's like I said, it's dope, man. I don't really feel like we can't do it adequate justice, but if I still rapped, I probably would fuck with it, fam.
Mm-hmm. Infrared Crypto, that's mm-hmm. his name, chat room.
Yep, Infrared Crypto. I guess I could put the links in the chat mm-hmm. if you guys wanna see it as well. But like sometimes I know when I'm like by myself, I listen to like listen to instrumentals and stuff like that sometimes when I cook, do stuff like that.
Mm-hmm. And for those of you listening, go check them out.
Yep. So all right, but yeah, thanks dog. He mm-hmm. says additionally, if anyone wanted, my Instagram name is @infrared_crypto. Crypto is spelled KRYPTO. As always, I thoroughly enjoy the show. Thanks.
Thank you,
Ahmad. D writes in, hey, it's your girl Danielle D, aka Danielle CC, who could only leave one 5-star review. iTunes is whack.com. So not sure if you guys received my last post, but I started watching The Walking Dead because of your recap from the beginning and Laura Carroll's interview when she first came to Alexandria, #serial killer vibe. Child, I was scared.
Come on.
Now I'm up to season 9 and Judith is a whole gangster in these streets. That's a bad bitch.
You were flying, baby.
Judith is a whole gangster in these streets. That's a bad bitch. Rosita is with Gabe? ? That's an odd match. And Prego with Sadiq, baby. Okay, girl. He fine. I knew somebody was going to smash him to smithereens. I've said that from
Come
the
on,
second
he was too
him.
Singled.
Okay, and when Eugene came through with the plant and also professed his love for her, that guy is a whole extraordinary fool. The kingdom living in the bubble with this fair, shaking my head like the whisperers not out here being entire psychos. Anywho, thank you for continuous content. It's much needed in the #Rona. Oh, P.S. that Lola I mentioned in my 5-star is a clitoris vibrator. Your girl still lonely in the Rona. Stay safe. Oh, that's what Delola is. Okay. I didn't know.
Me either.
Okay. I just know like Rabbit, obviously the Hitachi. Mm-hmm. Everybody know the Hitachi. Didn't know Delola. That's a new one. They got some new technology out there. The game's always changing. You got to stay abreast.
Lola on the Lolo, apparently.
And our girl, Miss Barnes, says, good morning, Rod and Karen. I have to say that I'm enjoying the Facebook cooking show segments. Oh, thank you.
Aww.
Yeah, I guess unless you're premium or whatever, you might not know, but on my Facebook Live, you know, at least lately, a couple times a week, I've been going live whenever I cook my HelloFresh meals and stuff. And just kind of let the, you know, play some music. And I guess one of them I played some copyrighted music that was too... I guess it's too popular because they was like, we taking this one down, we gonna mute it. But But for some reason, didn't do that to Little Brother and Justice for All, which is one of my favorite albums anyway. So
yeah, and it's probably how it runs. Like if you probably talk over it, or you too busy talking, like it don't pick it up. But if you probably
That much though. I just think it did it because the other songs was popular. Oh. It was Outkast and Drake and all this shit.
Yeah, algorithms run. Yeah,
yeah. I think it's an algorithm. So anyway, yeah, so I've been going live with that, and I got like a little tripod and my phone, and you know, cook and talk to the chat a little bit, let them see, you know, how I get down in the chef in the kitchen. I mean,
yeah, I think the first one we did on Instagram, but Instagram does a terrible job at like the landscape, like the way the camera is, it makes you go up and down versus side to side.
Yeah, so I tried Instagram Live, it was not the business, and I couldn't even read the comments because they come in sideways and shit. It's just not good. And my tripod doesn't really work with my phone. If I put my phone like vertical, it works better when it's sideways. So yeah, Facebook Live is where that's at. And yeah, I saw a lot of people was enjoying it. It was not something I really necessarily knew how people would feel about it. You know, I don't know what everybody uses their live for, but I see like people, you know, go live for all kinds of stuff and very interactive stuff. This is not that interactive because it's just me cooking and talking a little bit to the camera.
It's just relaxing just to watch you cook. I know that might sound weird because
you're not the first. Yeah, a lot of people said that.
Mm-hmm. It's just really because you see so much go up and down your timeline all the time, and just to see you there and enjoying what you're doing and talking about the ingredients and all that stuff.
Yep. Someone who lives for cooking shows on PBS on Sundays, the Food Network, I can say that without a doubt, love your cooking segments and learn something new every day. For example, I had no idea that there were automated salt and pepper grinders or that I need a Rick and Morty apron. Well, Karen got me that. Karen, I guess, saw that I was cooking on live, and she got me a few, like, she got a garbage bag that goes in the front of the oven.
Mm-hmm.
She got me a cup, cooking scraper utensil thing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because our minds kind of tick differently, so I just started thinking of things, you know, that you were doing. I was like, okay, we can enhance this, we can do this. So I just been kind of doing little things in the background.
Yeah, I wasn't really trying to do or be fancy or anything, so I'm fine either way. Like, it's not like I'm making a cooking show, mm-hmm. but it's been fun. And that wardrobe malfunction can be overlooked. Yeah, the apron fell off the other day, but you know, I had clothes on underneath and stuff. HelloFresh needs to sponsor you, and yes, Lemon Zest will wake up a dish. I wish HelloFresh would sponsor us. I've tried before. It's hard.
We looking, y'all.
Yeah, I've tried. It's funny because like every once in a while they'll interact with something I put on Twitter or something, mm-hmm. and share it, and I'll be like, my nigga, like, holler at me. But anyway, hey, love you guys, and please continue to stay safe out there in these Rona streets. Miss Barnes 72. Thank you. And we shall, okay? We're gonna be safe as we can be.
Mm-hmm.
All right, I think that's all the feedback that we got for this week. So thank you everybody that took the time out to give us some feedback.
Thank you.
And all the people that you know, that fuck with us and stuff like that, we appreciate that. You know, you definitely, you know, could be messing with anybody, but you chose us, so right. Thank you. We'll be back tomorrow. I think 11:30 is when we're getting started, and okay. We'll have Nick and Reggie from What's the Tea.
Yay!
And then
can't talk to them in a while live.
I know. And then 4:30 on Monday, Memorial Day, is when we're gonna have our girl Ray Sani on, if everything works out.
Fun.
And then Tuesday and Wednesday, we don't have any guests, but you know, we'll be around. So until next time, I love you.
I love you too. Mwah.